everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a scaly friend of ours, finally, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful reticulated python. This, of course, is a very special listener episode dedicated to Adora and to Elliot. Thank you for writing in. This podcast episode would not have been possible without your amazing suggestion. And so I hope you enjoy your very own episode. And for those of you that wish to learn more about a particular animal that you find to be super cool, you can reach out to the show in a couple of different ways. The first one being through the Instagram Relax with Animal Facts. The second, you can always go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and go under the Animal Request section. You can also send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. And the last way is always standing, which is a carrier pigeon. Whenever I get a new message or a request, I always get so giddy to see you guys writing into the show. And if I, for whatever reason, have not responded to your email, to your message, please send one again, because it must have gotten lost in the shuffle. For this episode, I got my facts from animalia.bio, theanimalfacts.com, reptilesmagazine.com, kidszoo.org, and of course for the etymology, I got it from etimonline.com. This podcast episode would not have been possible without the contributions of these respective websites. I will leave all of this information in the show notes or the description of this episode, so be sure to check those resources out if you want to learn more. And now I would like for all of you to try to notice maybe where you are carrying some tension. I think the most common spots are usually on the neck or the head or maybe even in the arms. In my case, it is always in my hands because I work with my hands a lot, but I encourage all of you to try to relax right along with me as we trek together into the tropical forests of Southeast Asia where the reticulated python resides. I am aware that snakes are not normally the most conducive to relaxation, especially when compared next to koala bears or to pandas, but snakes are extremely cool, and maybe, just maybe, after you learn more about this particular snake or snakes in general, you'll see that the snake is just one more of our animal friends. And more specifically, one of our scaly friends. The reticulated python is a non-venomous snake native to South and Southeast Asia. It is the world's longest snake. Now, I am not sure about you, but when I think of the world's longest snake, my thought always goes to the anaconda. But in fact, the reticulated python has the anaconda beat in terms of length. The color pattern of these snakes is a complex geometric pattern that incorporates different colors. This is actually important when it comes to the name of this snake, but we will get into that just a bit later. The back of the snake will typically sport a series of irregular diamond shapes flanked by these smaller markings with these lighter centers. Because this species has a very wide geographic range or distribution, and due to its many variations of size, color, and markings, it will often give them a very excellent form of camouflage depending on where they live. Camouflage is a mechanism by which animals can disguise themselves into their environments. Maybe if you were to put on a light green sweater, neon green pants, and lay on the bright green grass, this could be a form of camouflage. But in the case of animals like the reticulated python, being able to blend into their environment is going to make hunting more efficient, more successful, but it is also going to provide some cover from possible predation. The most common colors they are vested with are olive green, black, white, tan, yellow, gold, and brown. So this beautiful mosaic of swampy colors is going to allow them to really blend well into their surroundings, which, remember, are in those lush green forests of South and Southeast Asia. Now, South and Southeast Asia, I am not going to list all of the countries there because there are very many, but I will list just a few of where the reticulated python can be found. Bangladesh, Brunei, Cambodia, India, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, and Singapore. As we can see, this snake can be found all over the place in that very specific subcontinent. At the top of the show, we learned that they really enjoy forests, which they do, but they also enjoy woodlands and nearby grasslands, in addition to those tropical rainforest habitats. They are also associated with rivers and can be found in areas with nearby streams and lakes. Unsurprisingly, like many other large snakes, the reticulated python is a wonderful swimmer. They are so good at swimming, in fact, that they have been reported far out at sea, and even made the swim to other nearby small islands in their range. Now, I do know many people that would love to swim with dolphins and other sorts of creatures. I do not know many people that would want to swim with a reticulated python. Now, let's move on to the habits and lifestyle of the reticulated python. The first thing for us to know is that they are active throughout the night. If we remember our terminology, this means that they will be nocturnal creatures as opposed to diurnal. As a nocturnal creature, the reticulated python is going to be doing most of its hunting, most of its swimming and crawling along the ground during the nighttime. They are also very solitary creatures. You will not find many reticulated pythons traveling together. In fact, you likely will never find such a thing, as they prefer swimming alone in contrast to any kind of synchronized swimming. One thing that might surprise you is that while the adult python is mostly terrestrial and will rarely be seen in trees, the juveniles of the reticulated python, meaning the young ones, spend their time both in trees and on the ground. Right next to swimming, in terms of how often we think of snakes doing that activity, my mind certainly does not jump to the snakes spending much time in the trees. So during the nighttime, when they are active as nocturnal creatures, they will be hunting with a certain style known as ambush hunting. This means that they will wait until their prey, by happenstance or bad luck, whatever you want to call it, will wander within their strike range. And when that happens, the reticulated python will waste no time in embracing them in a big hug. Now, this is not a hug that I would be very quick to sign up for, but in the wild, the reticulated python does not exactly ask questions. Once the prey wanders just a little bit too close to the reticulated python, the snake will reach out and seize it in its coils and kill it by means of constriction, meaning they will wrap themselves around and deprive them of oxygen. They are very aggressive creatures, and if disturbed, they will make a sort of hissing sound that is not very pleasant. Just so we can better understand how this constriction takes place, or why constriction is the method by which the reticulated python chooses to take its prey, this is the world's longest snake, as we learned earlier, and they have lengths of over 16 feet. That is just about over triple of a regular human person. So there is a lot of this snake to go around. So when they wrap themselves around, especially in terms of some medium-sized prey, there is not much of a fighting chance for them to get away. There are five different ways of describing what a group of reticulated pythons are called. They include dens, nests, pits, beds, and knots. See, those are very apt descriptions or names for what a group of snakes would look like, especially a knot of snakes. So what will their prey consist of? It may be an obvious fact that the reticulated python is a carnivore. They are not going to be getting any veggies in their diet and will prefer, rather, the diet of mammals and occasionally birds. Smaller pythons will eat mainly rodents like rats, whereas the larger individuals will switch to prey such as the small Indian civet, the binturong, primates, and pigs. We ought not to be surprised with some of the sizes of the animals which the reticulated python will eat, things like primates, for example. The snake has no teeth, and so they will be swallowing these animals whole. They are, of course, anatomically and physiologically adapted to be able to take in such large amounts of food in one go. They are capable of a lot of flexibility when it comes to their bodies and what they are ingesting. Let us move on to the mating of the reticulated python. They have a polyandrous mating system in which one female will mate with more than one male in a single breeding season. They will normally breed within a very small window of time between February and March, and the females will lay between 15 and 80 eggs per clutch, and the female will lay between 15 and 80 eggs per clutch. Clutch being the word for how many eggs they lay at one time. The eggs will first be laid onto the ground, and once they are on the ground, the female will lay on top of them in order to incubate them and keep them at that optimal temperature until they hatch. Very much unlike you and me, at birth, they are independent. This means that right from the get-go, the baby snake is independent and ready to wander off and leave its clutch. We have covered many animals in which we observe these differences of how long they are dependent on their parents, but in the case of this snake, they take probably the gold medal in terms of leaving the nest. However, they will have to wait 2 to 5 years to reach reproductive maturity and have some eggs of their own. One amazing fact is that while we learned the average length of the reticulated python being around 16 feet, the longest one ever measured was 33 feet in length. That's around 7 times the size of a regular human being, and I imagine their hugs would be legendary. Now let us move to the name of the snake, the reticulated python. What does it mean, or where does it come from? On Etym Online, I couldn't find anything specific to the term reticulated python, but I did look up the separate words python and reticulate to see what they mean. We will start first with the word python. This goes back to the 1500s, specifically in the 1580s, and it was the name of a fabled serpent slain by Apollo near Delphi, from Latin python and from Greek python as well, which was defined always as a serpent slain by Apollo. This might even be related to an old word called pythene, which means to rot, and that comes from a word that has the definition of hollow, deep, bottom, or depths, and is usually used in reference to the monsters that inhabit them. Although we do not know with 100% certainty that python, as we use it today, does track back to this pythene word, but it is very possible. Now, coming to more modern times, it was always loosely used for any very large snake, hence the zoological application to large non-venomous snakes of the tropics. The word was originally coined in 1836 and originally in French. Now that is for the python, but what about the reticulated python? What does reticulate mean? Well, reticulated means it is covered with these netted lines, having distinct lines or veins crossing as a network. So if we think back to the previous description of the reticulated python and what they look like and the patterns that they have, we see why they would be given this distinction of reticulated. This came from the Latin word reticulatus, which also meant having a net-like pattern, and keeps going to reticulum, and continues back to a word of uncertain origin, perhaps related even to a Lithuanian word. So while we are not entirely sure of the full etymological tracings of the word reticulate, it is easier to see now why this python got the distinction of being reticulated. Now let us move on to a review of the show coming all the way from Great Britain, written in by Hannah D139 on Apple Podcasts. Hannah D139 writes, "Love this podcast. I was looking for a relaxing podcast to listen to before bed, and I found this. It is relaxing and focuses on my favorite topic, animals. Thank you, and keep it going." Thank you, Hannah, for your wonderful review. I am so glad that you were able to find the show and that you are now a part of our animal podcast family. For those of you that really enjoy the show and wish to leave a review, I greatly encourage you to do so. But you joining me in these treks in the forests or in the deserts is gift enough. Thank you for joining me on this podcast episode. If you love the show and want more content, including exclusive episodes and an audio version of the blog, I welcome you to join the Patreon at patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. For any of those links, you can always go to relaxwithanimalfacts.com. There is a new blog you can read. There are all of the social links that might be of use to you, so make sure to check that out. If you wish to reach out to the podcast and request an animal or send a message, you can do so by sending a message to Relax with Animal Facts on Instagram, going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and clicking on the Animal Request tab, or you can send an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com. I look forward to all of you joining me on the next podcast episode with the next animal. Take care.